is Zelaya Diaz versus Barr. And Mr. Budzinski, did I pronounce it properly?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, you may proceed.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. Over 20 years ago, the Executive Office for Immigration Review and the Immigration and Naturalization Service implemented a policy, largely by memoranda, directing administrative closure of certain cases, cases like my client's case. The purpose of this policy was to give eligible non-citizens the opportunity to await promulgation of regulations providing for a procedure called repapering. We are still waiting for those regulations to this day. The administrative closure policy implemented directs administrative closure for those non-citizens affected by the retroactive stop time rule of IRA-IRA and NACRA, so that those who were eligible for suspension of deportation but for the new stop time rule can apply for cancellation of removal once they have the pertinent repapering regulations. The policy even goes so far as to direct sua sponte administrative closure by the BIA. And there is only one exception to administrative closure provided by the policy. One, where there are unusually adverse factors, and two, only if approved by the Office of General Counsel. My client, Mr. Zelaya, or Mr. Rosales more appropriately, as that is his birth name, is eligible under the policy for administrative closure. Because he was eligible for suspension of deportation under the pre-IRA-IRA scheme, and with repapering would be eligible for cancellation of removal under the current statutory scheme. He does not fall within the narrow exception, and DHS did not argue this below. Rather, regarding repapering, DHS stated, excuse me, that it was something that it was not going to do. The reason given below for denial of administrative closure, that is DHS's opposition and decision not to repaper Mr. Rosales, is inapposite to the present matter. The IJ and the BIA were bound under Accardi to follow their policy and administratively close this case. There's just one exception, and that's not present here. Exception
Mr.
is not.
Mr. Budzinski, your Accardi theory seems to give the force of law to internal agency memoranda. And I haven't seen law in that line of cases that would go that far to give force of law to something less formal than regulations, something formally adopted. Could you address that, please?
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. I think this case falls squarely within the ambit of Morton v. Ruiz. That case dealt with the other BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and there the Supreme Court extended Accardi to a policy manual, which, at least in my experience before some of the agencies regarding immigration practice, that is often, or at least sometimes, a compilation of individually issued memoranda for the agency. It could be different in other agencies, I'm not sure. But in summary, I think it falls under the ambit of Morton Ruiz, where it extended Accardi from regulations to internal agency policies.
How far do you think that reaches?
I think it reaches to at least as far as to internal policy memoranda that directs judges and other agency personnel how to handle certain cases. I don't know if it would go much further, but I think it reaches this case.
I have a procedural question about the Accardi argument. Was that exhausted?
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So regarding waiver and exhaustion, Your Honor, first, I would note that the administrative closure request based on the memoranda was made below, and I think that's sufficient to preserve the contention here. Concededly, Accardi wasn't cited. Ideally, it would have been, but I don't think it's necessary, as you do not need to cite every single source of authority in support of a contention to preserve the issue. Accardi here is simply additional authority in support of the request for administrative closure.
Well, don't you think it would have been important to put that argument with the particularity that it's advanced on appeal in front of the board?
I think that would have been best practice. Unfortunately, that was not done. I don't think it's necessary.
One of the things that I wonder about, and maybe you can speak to it, is has the BIA or circuit courts around the country interpreted Morton versus Ruiz, as you just did, to effectively give legal effect to the various memoranda that you point out in your brief?
The closest I have seen is a Ninth Circuit case, Alcaraz, I believe it's cited in the briefs. And I don't think it necessarily decided the issue. I think it remanded it back to the agency to decide whether Accardi was going to bind it in that case. Additionally, on the waiver issue, Your Honors, the memoranda directs sua sponte administrative closure by the BIA. That means the BIA was obligated to administratively close this case, even if the issue wasn't raised. And I think as a matter of logic, that makes waiver impossible and exhaustion unnecessary.
What about one of your fallback arguments, as I understand it, Mr. Podzinski, and this gets into the complications about the Attorney General's opinion in In Re Castro Tum and the effects of our court's decision in Meza Morales earlier this year. I had thought that before the Attorney General's opinion in Castro Tum, BIA precedents, specifically Avetisyan and the WYU cases, told immigration judges how to exercise discretionary decisions, how to exercise discretion in deciding about administrative closure. And the BIA here was operating on the assumption that Castro Tum was controlling, and it no longer is, at least in this circuit. I'm wondering whether it might make sense simply not to say that administrative closure is required here under this pretty aggressive Akari theory, but rather that the immigration judge ought to exercise discretion in light of the Avetisyan and WYU factors.
Yes, Your Honor. And the government brings that up in its brief as well. While this case was on appeal before the Board of Immigration Appeals, and I think sometime before the brief was filed, Castro Tum was decided, in which it rejected administrative closure as a general policy. That was reversed, of course, as you mentioned, in Meza Morales. And perhaps the best course of case, or the best decision, would be to give the BIA an opportunity to consider those factors now that Meza Morales has rejected Castro Tum. I don't think that's necessary here. I think we can prevail on the Accardi claim and additionally the abuse of discretion claim involving the policies. But the BIA never considered the Avetisyan factors, and that's one way to resolve this case would be to remand it for the BIA to consider those factors and whether they warrant administrative closure in this case.
Isn't DHS's opposition a primary consideration under that construct? And we have DHS opposition here.
It's
a futility question, basically. Is this futile?
Well, it is one consideration. I don't think it's necessarily determinative. Also, I'm kind of confused by DHS's opposition below. The policy as well directs them to agree to these administrative closures. I'm not sure why that was different in this case. There was really no explanation offered. I think that would lend some weight in the other direction. I see I'm almost out of time here, Your Honors.
Well, I guess we also have a statement from the BIA directly saying that the petitioner has responded there, has presented significant equities. So maybe it wouldn't be futile. Okay, if you'd like to reserve the rest of your time, that's fine.
I would, thank you.
That's fine. Ms. Wright.
Good morning. May it please the court. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. May it please the court. My name is Jocelyn Wright. I'm here on behalf of respondent, the United States Attorney General. The only issue before the court is whether the board abused its discretion when it determined in this case that administrative closure for repapering was not warranted, given DHS's stated opposition to administrative closure and its position that it was unwilling to exercise its discretion to repaper petitioner's case here. In other words, DHS decided that in its prosecutorial discretion that it was going to continue to prosecute the deportation case that was successfully reopened 20 years after his in absentia removal order was already was entered against him, and to prosecute those proceedings to their completion, which in this case is the order of deportation to Honduras. So repapering is simply having DHS agree to terminate the deportation proceedings and to reinitiate removal proceedings under current Section 240 of the Act. It is undisputed that those prosecutorial discretion decisions are solely within the purview of the Department of Homeland Security and that they are neither administratively nor judicially reviewable. It is undisputed here again that DHS opposed administrative closure and would not exercise its prosecutorial discretion affirmatively in favor of the petitioner. Because no purpose would have been served by administratively closing the deportation case given DHS's position, the board in this case could not have abused its discretion when it determined that administrative closure was not warranted.
This is a different kind of futility argument, that the ultimate grant of relief would not be forthcoming because of DHS's opposition.
That's correct, Your Honor. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Not that the board would decline to administratively close, it's that DHS wouldn't offer relief.
Exactly. The sole purpose that he seeks for repapering, for administrative closure, is to be repapered. Here, DHS has already said it is not willing to do that. And because the board can't compel or exercise prosecutorial discretion on DHS's behalf, there would have been no purpose served for the board to grant administrative closure, even if it had that authority. And to address Judge Hamilton's earlier question about Meza Morales and Castro Tum and its effect on this case, I don't believe, as we put down in the brief, I don't believe that Castro Tum was relevant or germane to the board's decision here. The board's decision was couched in terms of administrative closure is unwarranted. It acknowledged Castro Tum, as counsel has already described, the attorney general held there that the authority to administratively close a case was not given to the immigration judges or to the board. And of course, this court in Meza Morales has rejected that interpretation of the regulations. So
I understand that point, but one way of reading that decision is in essence saying there's this one factor under Osvetisyan and WYU. There's one factor we're looking at that's conclusive without consideration of the broader set of factors. Am I misreading that?
I would have to say yes, Your Honor, in the sense that the board here didn't apply Avetisyan. It couldn't have, because when it issued its decision, it was bound by the Attorney General's decision in Castro Tum. Meza Morales hadn't come out yet.
So Castro Tum is decisive then, to the extent that it had in essence undermined and remove the consideration of factors for discretion to be exercised that ought to now apply at least within this circuit while Meza Morales states the rule.
Not necessarily, Your Honor, because again, the board here didn't rely on whether or not its decision was not dependent on whether or not it had the authority to administratively close.
When I just asked you, though, whether they considered all of the factors under Osvetisyan, you said no, because Castro Tum had replaced that.
Right.
And now that Castro Tum is off the table in this circuit, I don't want to argue, you seem to be changing positions as to the importance of Castro Tum in this question.
I think there's some slight tension given the timing of when the decisions were issued in this case. But I think the board here, again, was very careful in saying that administrative closure is not warranted, given DHS's unreviewable decision not to exercise its prosecutorial discretion. Well, to put it differently, given DHS's decision to continue to prosecute the deportation proceedings that were before it, that were before the Immigration Court and the Board of Immigration Appeals. And so the repapering, whether or not repapering was available, simply wasn't germane given the decision to continue to prosecute the case that was before it right now. And again, with respect to the Accardi argument that petitioner advances as his primary argument to this court, that argument was never exhausted. As we argued in the brief, both of the filings the petitioner made before the immigration judge and to the board acknowledged the discretionary nature of administrative closure, but the internal guidance memoranda all couched it in terms of recommendations. Should. These are terms that don't mandate administrative closure by any means. And I don't think that below that was ever argued. And so to the extent that he is now arguing that the agency not only had the discretion, but was obligated and that it was mandatory for the board to administratively close the case given the internal guidance memoranda, that particular argument was never exhausted below. And in this court, under this court's rules, exhaustion is mandatory because if under a petitioner's point of view, he had a right to administrative closure because it was in the sense that it was mandatory. And so exhaustion for that additional reason was required by the statute. Now, I don't agree that it was mandatory. And the board here certainly didn't address that argument because it was never made before it. But I think it's important that the board be given that opportunity to decide, and that's to decide whether or not the internal memoranda guidance were considered mandatory or guidance policy instead.
Ms.
He
Wright,
had that opportunity, and he never did.
I'm sorry, Ms. Wright. Sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead and finish your thought. I got a question then.
Oh, no, I was just going to make the point. The petitioner had the opportunity to make that argument, especially since Alcaraz was on the books and it was already on the radar. But he never made that argument below, and so it's been waived, and there's no reason to exhaust it for a second bite at the apple. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Your Honor.
Sure. So the question I have is, is this the first time that the board, I know it wasn't presented here, that's your view, but there surely has to have been other cases where non-citizens have made this type of Accardi based argument based upon the policy memoranda, et cetera, the proposed regulation.
To my, it has, and there are unpublished cases in other circuits. The Eighth Circuit in Castro-Puig is one that comes to mind where the courts have said that there is no right to repapering.
No, I was asking more about the board. If it were, if the argument were presented to the board, do you have any knowledge about how the board has handled that argument in other matters?
I am not aware that the Accardi argument has ever been made to the board, Your Honor. And again, I think, and this is important to underscore, petitioner's argument that these memos issued in 2000, 20 years ago, now bind the board completely ignores the legal and administrative landscape that existed back then versus the landscape that exists now. And the most important landscape change is the fact that the prosecutorial discretion authority was moved from the Attorney General, where it resided in 2000, to the Department of Homeland Security Secretary, where it now resides since 2003, with the creation of the Department of Homeland Security. Ignoring that important development, I think, is what separates this case in any event. The Attorney General, now the board acting as a delegate of the Attorney General, simply does not have the same kind of authority of prosecutorial discretion that the Attorney General once delegated to it in 2000 when these memoranda were issued. And I see that I'm running out of time. Unless the court has any further questions, we ask that the petition for review be denied.
Thank you very much, Mr. Budzinski.
Thank you, Your Honors. Regarding the government's argument that the agency decision denying administrative closure was reasonable because the decision to repaper was committed to discretion of DHS, this argument ignores Accardi and the agreed upon procedures in the memoranda. First, the memoranda call for administrative closure and then repapering once we have the regulation. So the repapering decision is supposed to come later. Second, sure, DHS has discretion when it comes to the commencement of proceedings generally, but the Accardi doctrine does and can limit that discretion. That's the entire point of Accardi. It requires the government to follow its own rules, even self-imposed rules that limit otherwise discretionary determinations. Regarding the futility questions we were going over earlier. So I guess the question, in other words, is what's the point if DHS's ultimate decision is going to be not to repaper? This is a premature issue. We don't have regulations yet. However, the proposed regulations provide a potential answer. The proposed regulations read, in any deportation proceeding that was administratively closed, the service shall prepare and serve a notice to appear. If promulgated, this would appear to require the Department of Homeland Security to serve a notice to appear and repaper the case. And that's why the timing of this decision is important. The administrative closure was supposed to occur now, wait the regulations, then make a decision on repapering. And it was going to be pursuant to and consistent with regulations that we don't have yet, which may require repapering and limit their discretion. I have nothing further if there are no questions.
All right. Thank you very much. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.